All right, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. We will conclude tonight our in-depth look at this verse. And should the Lord will, and we return together next Sunday night, I intend to begin preaching on the life of Moses. And so we'll start that next week. But for tonight, we're going to look at something quite marvelous when looked at from the perspective of the rotten sinners that we are, and that is this thing called redemption. You know, in this verse, as we pointed out, it talks about how Christ is made unto us. We're in Christ Jesus, and He is made into us, and then unto us certain things here that we've looked at, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification we've all looked at so far, and now tonight we look at redemption. It is it is quite wonderful to think about how we have been redeemed, and how that has come to pass, and what that means for us. And so I want us to kind of look at that here tonight. We're going to ask some questions, the who, what, where, when, why, and how kind of questions, and about redemption, and just see what we might discover about it from God's Word. We're going to be ready to either write down these references or turn there quickly, because we're going to look at a lot of Scripture tonight. But let's begin by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, O Lord, just thankful for this verse that we have spent some time on, and all the things in it that we are told that we have because of Christ Jesus. And we cannot begin to thank You enough or praise You enough for what You have done for us, but we attempt to here tonight. And I just pray that this service would indeed bring honor and glory to Your name. But may Your Spirit speak to our hearts also here tonight and teach us about redemption and how it can even be, and what You have done for us. So, Lord, just open up Your words to us and speak to our hearts through Your Spirit and guide us into a better understanding of what these things mean. We just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we'll begin tonight with the question, what is God's redemption? What is redemption? To redeem something, it means to buy something back from whatever may hold it. In the case of sinners, we are held by, or we are in bondage to, sin and Satan. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. It says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And this, and we're taking this out of the context there of chapter 2 in Hebrews, but it speaks of how we are indeed taken out of this slavery. Our great need is for someone to redeem us or purchase us out of that slavery. And you know what? We cannot purchase that for ourselves. And that's one of the great truths and fundamental truths that we teach from God's Word. And that is that we are incapable of making this purchase ourselves. And any who think that they can work for this and somehow gain it through their efforts are sadly mistaken, because we cannot begin to work enough to pay the price it would require to redeem us or take us out of this bondage to sin and to Satan. But this is a truth that we must teach. It is a truth that this world desperately needs to hear, because so many, even among professing Christians, teach something else, teach that they try to avoid this subject altogether, and they want to teach and preach a message of, let's just love each other and let's just all get along. But we must address this issue because of where we are because of sin. Sin has put us in a great bondage and into a great slavery. And we cannot escape that. And our only hope is that someone would come along and redeem us and take us out of that. So it is this idea of redeeming or taking out of, taking back, purchasing, that is, something from someone who holds it, that we discuss here tonight as we talk about redemption. So that's what God's redemption is, kind of briefly and in a nutshell. Now let's talk about why do we need it. As we've said, we are sinners. We have sinned against God. And when you sin against holy God, a price must be paid. And being that He is perfect and holy, being that He is the Creator, that He is the sovereign God of the universe, He is the one who gets to decide what price must be paid. And His decision was that it must be a blood price. But we need this because of the sin that we commit against holy God. We know this, and we know that all find themselves in this situation. No one is exempt from this. The whole world belongs to Satan. We learn that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, where it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world is in slavery or bondage to Satan and to sin. We're held in the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "Who hath delivered us," speaking of Christ, speaking of God, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." But we are delivered from, when we are redeemed, we are delivered from the power of darkness. And that's why we need redemption. We are held by the power of darkness, and we cannot break that hold on our own. As desperately as we might try, we cannot. But it's even worse than that, because in that hold, we don't even realize we're held by that power of darkness. We don't even realize that it's a bad thing to sin against God, and that we're held accountable for that. We want to go our own way, and we think we're doing our own thing, yet here we are bound in this darkness. And that's why we need redemption. We speak this, and I want to speak this clearly, and we need to speak this clearly, but all are in this place and are in need of redemption to be brought out of it. And so we're left then to hope for one that can redeem us. So that's why we need redemption. Who is our Redeemer? Who is it that makes this happen? Who brings this to pass? Well, there is only one name by which men can be saved. That is the name of the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Mark 10:45 tells us, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." The world's wisdom tries to teach that there are many ways to God, if they even believe in God. You can go many paths, but God's own Word says that there is only one way, and that's through Christ Jesus. He gets to call that. He does not leave that up to the wisdom of men, praise God. But He Himself has determined how it should be and who should do this. And it's His own very Son, who from the foundation of the world agreed to be the Redeemer, to make the atonement for our sins. And He came for that purpose, and He gave His life a ransom for many. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in whom, speaking of Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So it is in Christ Jesus. So He is the one who should be the center of what we preach. He is the one we should hold up before this world to see as the one and only Redeemer. And we must be faithful to this message. Oh, do not let us take in the false teaching that is found in so many churches today, that makes salvation, that makes redemption, something that both God and man do. For any part that man would have in redemption would always fail. God alone is sufficient to redeem us. Christ alone, because He is the perfect one, because He is the one who kept the law in its entirety, because He is the one who shed His precious blood for us. Only through Christ can we find this redemption. So there is only one who answers that question, who is our Redeemer, and that one is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now that takes us hand in hand to the next point, and that is, how are we redeemed? How is it we are redeemed? How is it possible that we might be bought out of the slavery of sin and out from under Satan? How can that happen? Again, there is only one way, and it is through the precious blood of Christ. Turn now to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 12, I'd like for you to turn there. We'll look at this one. You see, not just anything can pay this price before Holy God. He will not accept any other form of payment except for the one that He has prescribed. And that is that the blood of one perfectly innocent must be shed on behalf of those who are not innocent, who are sinners, who are bound up in this sin, or in this slavery. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. My, we could spend time here in this verse. But we're told clearly that the shedding of the blood of goats and calves will not accomplish it. The Jews had come to rely upon that, which was merely intended to be a postponement, if you will, until the real sacrifice could be made. And that real sacrifice, of course, being Christ Jesus. So it's not the blood of those goats and calves that redeems us, but it's by His own blood that we are redeemed. When He entered in once into the holy place to accomplish this, those goats and calves had to die and shed their blood quite regular throughout the Old Testament. And they really didn't accomplish anything except a postponement, if you will, until Christ. But when He shed His blood, He only had to shed it once. Christ will never have to go back to the cross to shed more blood so that more people can get into heaven. He shed once and for all exactly what needed to be shed so that the elect of God could be redeemed. You reckon God knew exactly how much should be shed, must be shed for His elect? How did He know that? Because He knew exactly how many His elect consisted of. And so what Christ shed there upon that cross paid once and for all the price of our redemption. And by the way, just like He paid for it once, notice also it says having obtained eternal redemption for us. This redemption is something that can never be changed in the sense that never will someone go back before God and say, you know what, this person has sinned more, so they need to be redeemed more. What was done for them before no longer works, and so they've got to be redeemed again to get into heaven. It don't work that way. What He did there on the cross, when He entered into that most holy place, that was sufficient for an eternal redemption. Praise be to God. So it does not rest upon us and how good we live our lives to determine whether or not we get to go into heaven. It's all by what He has done for us and the blood that He has shed. It's certainly, just as it's not by the blood of goats and calves, it's also not by the corruptible wealth of this world. Look now, turn a few books over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll look at verses 18 and 19 there. So not only is the blood of goats and calves insufficient for our eternal redemption, but there is also no other price that can be paid, and certainly not that of the corruptible wealth that this world so treasures. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So silver and gold cannot buy this redemption for us. No treasure on this earth is sufficient to be paid for our redemption. There is only one treasure that is greater than them all. There is no comparison. That treasure is the precious blood of Jesus. Blood that was shed is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was perfectly innocent in every way, so His blood was sufficient for our redemption. It's by the blood that we are redeemed. Now, some of this world who, in their worldly wisdom, look at this, they think this is foolish. This is crazy. It's the ignorant babblings of fake religion long since passed over. Well, they won't be thinking that come judgment day. They'll know then, if not now, that this blood is no laughing matter. And it's certainly not something that man should turn his nose up to, look down upon. Precious. And it was willingly given by our most precious Savior. So we've asked the what, the why, the who, the how. Now let's ask the when. When are we redeemed? Well, there's two different ways we should look at this. First of all, firstly, we are redeemed at the cross. Turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. When did redemption occur? When was his blood shed? It was shed at the cross. And at that time, we were purchased out of slavery. We being those who belong to God, who are given to Christ, who are the elect of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, again speaking of Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So he gave himself there on that cross for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So in that sense, or in a sense, our redemption is experienced there. Turn over to chapter 3 in Galatians, verse 13. Again, this redemptive act on our behalf by Christ occurs at the cross, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So when was he made a curse for us? It was when he hung there upon that tree, upon that cross, if you will, and gave his life. When he died, when he said, it is finished, and then gave up his own life, it is finished means that it is finished. Nothing further must be done on our behalf to bring about our redemption. So it's accomplished right there on the cross in that sense. But also in the sense of when we will fully experience it, it will be accomplished in glory. When that final deliverance from sin will be accomplished, when we will be completely delivered from sin, as we so woefully know, sin still has an effect upon us because we are still yet sinners. But at the appointed day, we will come to a place where sin will be taken completely away, a place where we will stand finished in this sense, in our glorified bodies before God, and no longer have to deal with the plague of sin that besets us. We will no longer be burdened by sin and its consequences. All of that will be done away with. It will be taken away. And it will be over for good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are sealed by the very power of God so that nothing can break in and take away this redemption. Nothing can change it or alter it in any way. We are sealed by the mighty power of God. And how great is that power? He is one who can speak and there is a universe. He is one who by his word, judgment will fall. And none can stop it. There is no one who can challenge the strength of his hand or the power of his conviction. No one can alter the way he thinks or change him in any way because he is God. And it is by him that we are sealed unto that day of redemption, which means when we belong to him, we are of his elect, There will come that day of redemption where sin will be dealt with finally. And we will no longer be bothered by it. And we will stand before God for the rest of eternity, so essentially forever, as His people, made pure and holy before Him. We then will have the victory over sin, over Satan, over death, over hell, over the grave. Victory will be complete on that day of our redemption. Turn now to Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. Hosea chapter 13 verse 14. I want you to look at this verse. We've been going to verse after verse after verse in the New Testament, because much is revealed in the New Testament that was concealed in the Old Testament. But look at this verse in the Old Testament. Hosea, one of the minor prophets, chapter 13 and verse 14. He says, "There I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes." I know on this side of death, we have fears about death. But truly, the child of God should not fear what comes after death. Because then we will begin to experience this final redemption. Then we will begin to experience what it means to be in the presence of God. And we will begin to experience what He is preparing for us there. So we really should not fear death. I think it's natural to fear maybe the causes of our death to some degree. But death itself we should not fear. We on this side, death is like a door that we go through. When time comes, it's a door that we can't see very well at what's on the other side. I sit here and I look at the sliding doors there that come into the sanctuary. I can see through two little window panes somewhat what's on the other side, but I cannot see perfectly what's on the other side of those doors. And so it is with us on this side of death. We're given some glimpse of it from Scripture of what's on that other side, but we don't see clearly. And so for us who cannot see what's on the other side of a door, we can become fearful. But we must not. Because we are promised that what's on the other side of death's door, for those who are of God's people, is glorious and wonderful and amazing. It is beyond our ability, I think, to comprehend in these old fleshly bodies. Truly, what we will get to enjoy in heaven is beyond anything we can even imagine here on this side of those doors. And rather than look at those doors with fear and trembling, we should look at those doors with joy and joyful expectation of what will be on the other side. I'm not saying we all should just line up and let's go now kind of thing, okay? We go in God's own good time. But when that time comes, we should anticipate great wonders. And we should have hearts that are expectant of God's great and wonderful grace in what He has prepared for us there. But this one thing we know, that thing we call the grave, will have no power in eternity. Because it will be finally once and for all defeated forever. Death will have no power in eternity. Because it will be defeated. Because we belong to the living God. and it is through our precious Savior Christ Jesus that we are redeemed from those terrible things of the death and grave and Satan and sin. And we are promised something far greater. Our hearts should leap for joy in anticipation of what is prepared for us there. And we should never become so attached to the things of this world that we would prefer this world to heaven. Oh, so many do, I fear. And it shows up in their lives, the way they spend their time and their treasure, and the way they spend their talents pursuing things that are of no matter in eternity. Oh, may we make our time here on this earth a sincere and committed focus to those things that matter. And as our Savior instructed in the Sermon on the Mount, may we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven which will last for eternity. May we do this as we give praise to our Savior Christ Jesus, who has redeemed us. Praise be to His name. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You humbled by these verses that we have read and humbled by what You have done, what You have brought to pass for us. We did not deserve it in the least. It was not owed to us in any way. It is something You have given of Yourself to us, and it lasts for eternity. Oh, what joy it is for us to truly think about these things. And I pray, Lord, as we cast our thoughts upon these things, that we would resolve in our minds to hate sin all the more and to turn away from it all the more in our lives and turn to Christ and to those good deeds that please our Savior. Only You can work this work in us, O Lord. And we thank You for that. And we thank You for Your patience as well as Your power. And we give glory to Your great name for the wisdom, for the righteousness, for the sanctification, for the redemption, for all the many things that You have done for us. We thank You for these things. And we pray this prayer in the name of our redeeming Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.